All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off. Today's daf is Chaf Hei. We left off from the bottom of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, five lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said Hilchasa. Therefore, so we'll say. Remember again, we're dealing with the discussion of the episode of the Mishnah where Rav Shimon Gamliel received a gift from a non-Jew, from a Gentile, on Yom Tov. And he made the statement that as much as I'm technically permitted to go ahead and accept it, I choose not to. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Papa Hilchasa." Therefore, the halacha is Nachri Shehibidron Yisrael B'Yom Tov. If a Gentile gave a Jew a gift on Yom Tov, remember the whole question, the whole issue that comes up with the receiving the gift from the Gentile is this item considered to be Muchan? Is this item considered to be prepared at the onset of Yom Tov? Meaning that was it in existence at the or in a usable state at the beginning of Yom Tov? And therefore, again, would it therefore be permitted for Yom Tov use? So the Gemara says, Hilchos anachru shevi doron liyisra b'Yom Tov, em yesh me'osa hamin b'mechuber. If, again, whatever the Nachri brought, if this type of item, now this is assuming he's talking about produce over here, if it was mechuber, if it was still attached to the ground, meaning again, let's say, for example, they're talking about now a crop. So let's say this type of crop has not yet been fully harvested, so therefore most of it you'd find still attached to the ground. Osir, the halacha is you may not partake of that particular item because the assumption is that when did the Nachri harvest it? He harvested it on Yom Tov itself, and therefore again it's Osir. Ula erev nami asur michtei shiasu. So this is very interesting, and therefore at night, and therefore when Yom Tov is over, so you can't just use it immediately, but rather you have to eat michtei shiasu. Michtei shiasu means the amount of time that it would have taken the Nachri to do this particular malacha after Yom Tov. So let's say for argument's sake, he brought you apples, and apples are still on a tree. They have not been harvested, and it takes 3 minutes to harvest an apple. So it means that you're a slow harvester. So it means that at the end of Yom Tov, you can't just eat the apple, 1, 2, 3. You have to go ahead and wait 3 minutes afterwards. And I will say, we're not going to get into it now because of time, but Rashi records a fascinating discussion about, does this mean, let's say, on Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Shini, let's say the Nachri brings me the apple on Yom Tov Rishon. And halacha lemaisa, it's clear that the apples have not yet been harvested. So he plucked that off the tree. The halachic assumption is he plucked it off the tree today. The Gemara tells you that the way b'chdei shiasu. That on b'chdei shiasu after Yom Tov Rishon. So meaning that night after Yom Tov Rishon, I have to wait 3 minutes, but on Yom Tov Shini, I can eat the apple. Or does it mean, no, b'chdei shiasu means after Yom Tov in totality, after Yom Tov Rishon, after Yom Tov Sheni. So Rashi records a discussion about this, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mechaber actually paskins. It only means you have to wait until after Yom Tov Rishon. The Ramah quotes Yesh Omrin that says you should wait even until after Yom Tov Sheni as well. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. And if this type of item is not mechuber. Meaning, let's say again, he gave me an apple, but lamaisa, again, apples have already been harvested. Then the halacha is the following: tocha tchum, as long as I know that the nachri is coming from within the tchum, mutter. Then lamaisa, I'm permitted to go ahead and partake of the gift. Tap of chofhei. However, again, if the nachri is coming outside of the tchum, then osir. Then lemaisa, again, I might not partake of the gift. Rashi points out something very interesting. Rashi says chutz l'tchum osir. He says lo shamati tam mekubel b'davar. I haven't heard a good reason why the tchum comes into this. He says de'im yishum mukta. Because if it's because of mukta, am I mortally yisrael acher? De'im yishum shenase bo isra b'shvilo im kin yisrael. Amenami asid. The Achri, he skipped down a little bit. He says, "V'yesh lomar the gabi isra tchumin drabana lo achmer kulihai v'dayon im asruhu alze." So we'll say it's very interesting. So the idea is that this seems to be an additional gather to avoid any type of amira lenachri, any type ultimately again of instructions to a non-Jew to do malacha on my behalf for Yom Tov. Therefore, again, if it comes from outside of the tchum, it's going to be asr. However, but something that is brought for this particular individual, meaning Rabbi say, as much as if it comes from outside of the tchum, it's going to be usher, it's only usher for who? It's only usher for the individual for whom it was brought. But for someone else, for another Yisrael, it will be mutter. Amrav baravuna amrav. Hasochar amas mayim be'erev yom. That was another very interesting case. If you go ahead and you plug up a channel of water on Yom Tov, on Erev Yom Tov. So understand what you're doing over here. You have a little, if you can imagine, you have a I'll call it a river. You have a little, you have a little stream that runs through your property. You plug up the stream. Now, by plugging up the stream, what are you essentially doing? You're trapping, so to speak, the fish that are in that particular area. So remember, again, our whole perek is talking about the halachas of trapping. If you plugged up, we'll call it the canal, over Yom Tov, and the next morning you go out, and what do you see? There are fish streaming now in that plugged up area. Mutar in the halacha is that they're mutar. Rabbi say, why are they mutar? Why they mutar? Because that the act of plugging up the canal prior to Yom Tov is effectively an act of tzedah. So you've essentially trapped the fish prior to Yom Tov, and as long as you've trapped the fish prior to Yom Tov, lemais again, you are permitted to go ahead and chap them on Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Medivra Rabbeinu Nilmar, from the words of our Rebbe, we will learn the following. So he says, first of all, look at Rashi, just a moment. Asochar amas mayim, so small, you plug it up. Shol yikansu ba dagim mi bachutz mi shetachshach. Ves ele hechman vehizman, Ivemai says, Rabbeinu says, lemaisa, comes out as the following. When you plugged up the canal, the fish that were in there, you did all this on Erev Yom Tov, the fish that were therefore in there at the onset of Yom Tov are the fish that remain there all of Yom Tov, and therefore, again, they're Huzman. Therefore they are considered to be prepared prior to the onset of Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the following. From the words of our Rebbe, we can learn the following. Yomot, Chaya shekanana bepardes, eino tzricha zimun. That if you have a chaya, a chaya is an undomesticated animal, a deer. So if you have a deer that made its home in an orchard, so a deer goes into an orchard, decides to make its home in the orchard, eino tzricha zimun. It does not require any kind of preparation, meaning that halacha lemaisa, you're allowed that deer is considered to be prepared for use on Yom Tov. So we'll look at Rashi just a moment. So why does he bring down an orchard? Because an orchard is considered is an enclosed area. So if it came into the enclosed area, and what happens? Ve'in havlad yotze sheino yachol livroach ve'kal litzudo ve'in tzarech zimun dehahacha mipnei shistuma ve'in yachol levatis karluhu muchnas. So we'll listen to this. So the idea over here is talking to Gemara saying, if I plug up the channel on Erev Yom Tov, the fish that are stuck in the channel are considered to be prepared for Yom Tov use. I can chap them for Yom Tov use. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista, we see from here that if you have a chaya that made itself at home in an orchard, and it made itself so at home that it gave birth there, that the child that it gives birth to in the orchard is considered to be prepared for Yom Tov use. Prepare for Yom Tov use, and therefore come on Yom Tov, you're allowed to go ahead and shecht it. Why Rabosai? Because again, the paradise is an enclosed area, and the newborn, I guess we'll call it the calf, whatever you call the young deer, little deer, right? So the little deer can't go ahead and get out. Therefore, it's considered to be prepared just in the same way that the fish that are in the plugged up channel are considered to be prepared as well. Amar Rav Nachman, Nafal Chavran Beravrasa. So Rav Nachman said, our friend has fallen into a great dispute. Our friend is a reference to Rav Chista. In other words, what Rav Nachman was saying was, wow, Rav Chista really just stepped into a minefield. He just made a major mistake. Ika de Amri, others have different names associated with this episode. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Midivei Rabbeinu Nilmad. So according to this version, it was Rabba Bar Rav Huna who said, from the words of our Rebbe we learn, Chaya Shekinena Bepardes, Eina Tzvicha Zimun, that a chaya that made itself at home in the orchard and gave birth in the orchard, its baby does not require any kind of preparation to be used on Yom Tov, because the fact that it's inside the enclosed orchard makes you prepared for Yom Tov. Amar Rav Nachman, and in this version Rav Nachman said, Nafal Bar Chavrin Barav Rasa, the son of our friend has fallen into great trouble. So the son of our great friend over here is Rabba, the son of Rav Huna. Okay, either way, Rabbos, what the Gemara is saying is, that the one who made the statement equating the case of the chayev that gives birth in the pardes to the case of the plugged up stream has made a grave error. How so? Hasam lo ka'avid maisa, hacha ka'avid maisa. There is a fundamental dispute, a difference between those two cases. What's the fundamental difference, Rabbi Osai? In the case of the stream, what did you do? You did a maisa, you plugged it up. the act of plugging up the stream is in and of itself an act of what we call hazmana, of preparation. But again, in the case of the orchard, what have you done? You haven't done anything. The fact that Chayu swanters in there and the Chayu gives birth in there, you have not done anything to prepare anything for use on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "Velo baya zimun." And are you going to say that Lamaisa again, that for the baby animal, you don't require zimun? V'hatanyo Chayu shekinena bepardes. And Rabosai, again, we even have a brisa that objectively contradicts this. The brisa says that if you have an animal, again, Rabosai, essentially kinana, now that I think about it, really means like I don't know if it's the right term to use by larger animals, nested. Nested, a kan is a nest. I don't know why I didn't realize this before. A kan is a nest. So the idea over here is that the larger animal is nesting, i.e. is coming to a place to give birth to its young. So the Brisa says that if you have a chaya that gave birth in the pardes, in the orchard, tzricha lezamein, if you want to go ahead and use that animal on Yom Tov, it has to be prepared already from Erev Yom Tov. Now, Rabbi said the assumption over here is we're talking about the baby, that if you want to use the baby prior to Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, you have to have prepared it on Yom Tov, v'tzipur dror, sarich likshar b'knafeha, Kadesh lo tischalif. And if you want to use a tzipor dror, we saw a tzipor dror yesterday. That's the bird that takes flight and tries to elude its captors. If you want to use a tzipor dror on Yom Tov, you must tie its wings in order that it not fly away, in order that it not get exchanged with another tzipor. So when do you have to tie its wings? What is this talking about? On Erev Yom Tov. Furthermore, again, shlo tischalif bi'ima, in order that it not get confused with its mother. And in fact, these words is testimony that came directly from Shmaya Avtalion. So the Gemara answers to Yufka. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that the mere fact that a Chaya wanders into a paradise, which happens to be enclosed and gives birth there, is not enough to allow the baby to consider to be prepared for Yom Tov use. Rather, you see from here explicitly that in order to use that baby on Yom Tov, you must have explicitly prepared it prior to Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "Umi bayo zimun, do you really require that the animal be prepared for use on Yom Tov, meaning that should the animal be set aside, actively designated for use on Yom Tov, on Erev Yom Tov?" So the Gemara says, "Ba'atanya, we learned, Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Mod Mishan Besilel, Bisham Besilel both agree, Al Shehizminon Bisochakan, Umotza Lifnehakan, Shasun. We'll say we had this earlier. Bisham Besilel both agree that if you designated birds, this was the case of the dovecote. If you designated birds inside the dovecote, and then on Yom Tov you come and you find them outside of the dovecote, Shasun, that they are usher, because we'll say the assumption is that the birds that you find on the outside of the dovecote are not necessarily the same birds that you found, that you designated on the inside of the dovecote. But Medrash Amurim, when is that true? B'yoni shovach, b'yoni aliyah, v'tziporim shekanenu, b'tafichonu, b'vira. So we'll say, when is this true? This is true with doves that live in the dovecote, doves that live in the attic, and birds, we had this yesterday, birds that nest on the baskets outside of mansions. So these are the type of birds that are ultimately only to fly away. And therefore, again, if you don't find them lemaisa, where you left them, where you designated them, you assume that another set of birds came instead. Aval ovzim v'tarnagol v'yoni hardasios, but geese, chickens, and Herodian doves, v'chaya shekinena bepardes, or for that matter, a chaya, an animal that went ahead and nested and gave birth to its young in an orchard, mutarin. These are all mutar. Why? Ve'in srichen zimun, and they do not go ahead, they do not require any type of zimun, they do not require any type of preparation. So we'll say, see from here that what? That the chayish shekinena bepardes, you see again that there are some of these animals that do not require zimun. So the Gemara says furthermore, but sipor dror, and the sipor dror, again, remember that's the same bird we mentioned before, the bird that is a very free-spirited bird, does not want to be caught. Tzricha lekasha b'knafeha, you have to tie its wings on Erev Yom Tov if you want to use it on Yom Tov. Kadesh lo tischalif bima, in order that it not get confused with its mother. V'hamikusharim v'haminu anoin beboros ubebatim ubesichin ubemaros mutarin ubeilanos asurin. And furthermore, Rabbi Osai, that if you have birds, very interesting. Mikusharim and Minoan are talking about the following cases. Mikusharim are the cases of the birds that had their wings tied prior to Yom Tov. Minu'anoim, means the birds that you literally lifted up and put back down as a demonstration that you are coming to Yerushalayim, that you are coming to designate it. So if you find these birds, they flew away somewhere. So you find them now in a pit or in a house or in a cave. They're permitted. Why are they permitted? Because the fact that they've changed location doesn't make a difference. You know that's the bird. Either you recognize the bird, or lemaisa, you see that the wings are tied. Lemaisa, you can go ahead and take them even if they change location. However, upa ilanos asuros, asurin. But if those birds climbed up a tree, you can't go and get them. But that's for an unrelated issue, which is shemiya alavi yitlosh. That's an issue, a general issue, a prohibition of climbing a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Boy, this is a good one to know. Right, no climbing trees on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because again, you may come to detach a branch. So because you may come to rip off a branch, ripping off a branch is one of the lamites malachos of Kotzer. Therefore, again, if the bird scaled the tree, you may not go up and get it. And if you find
someone else's bird that has been designated, and let's say, for example, you know that it's someone's designated bird, or you see that there's a bird with its wings tied, even though you might find that on your property, you may not go ahead and get benefit from that. You can't take that bird because that bird is someone else's active property. So the Gemara says, "Amar Nachman lo kasha." So what do we see? The point is, we now have a contradiction. All of that information was really just to give us one basic piece of information, which was what? This price has said that the chaya shekinina, that when the chaya comes into the orchard and gives birth there, that lemaisa, the animal is permitted, and it does not require zimun. That contradicts what we just said before, because we said before that chaya shekinina cannot be consumed on Yom Tov without proper zimun. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha, it's not a contradiction, it's talking about two different animals. Haba habi'ima. One Bryce is talking about the baby. One Bryce is talking about the mother. Oh, look at Rashi. I will say it's the last two short lines of Rashi. Ba bevlad eino tzarech zimun she'ino yechol levroach v'dayte alei aval ima shigidol v'tzricha zimun. Oh, I will say here's a distinction. So answer number one, says the Gemara, is when the Bryce says that the animal, the chayy, does not require zimun, what is that talking about? That's the baby. Why doesn't the baby require zimun? Because since the baby's in the orchard, since the orchard is enclosed, the baby can't get out. So because the baby can't get out, the baby is by definition prepared for Yom Tov use. When did the Braisa say that lamaisa, the animal does require zimun? Who does that refer to? That's the mother. Oh, so the mother ultimately, again, has the ability to leave the paradis. And therefore, again, the only way you could possibly use it is if you are mezamen it, is if you designated it prior to Yom Tov. That's answer number one. So the Gemara says, Haba haba ima, ima bezimun sagila. Is that true? All you need to do if you want to use the mother on Yom Tov is to designate it. Say the ma'al yusabai. Rabbi, that's not true. Remember, what was the opening discussion of our Mishnah? Simply having an animal in an enclosure is not enough to make it prepared for Yom Tov use. What does it have to be? What does it have to be? It has to be trapped. It has to be trapped. It has to be actively trapped to the point that what? That you could very easily get it. You could very easily, remember our technical term, you could very easily chap it on Yom Tov. So simply, if I have a chaya in a paradise, which could be a large enclosure, and I simply mezamen it by saying, I'm going to eat that chaya in Yom Tov, that's not proper zimun. That's not proper preparation. Therefore, the Gemara says, here's a distinction. Idi vi idi bedida. Both prices are dealing with the baby. So what's the issue? Habigina hasmucha liyir. Habigina she'ina smucha liyir. So once I say the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Rashi smucha liyir. Yodaba v'dayte iluya. When the Braisa says that you could go ahead and partake of, you could shech the baby that's ultimately in the pardes on Yom Tov. What is that referring to? That's a pardes that's close to the city. Because it's a pardes that's close to the city, when I know that that chaya has given birth to that baby already prior to Yom Tov, my intention is to go ahead and use that baby because, again, it's accessible to me. As opposed to the braisa that says that lamaisa, you can't use the baby. The baby is not considered to be zuman, that it's not considered to be prepared. His maisa is talking about a garden or a gina, a paradise that's far from the city. Because it's far from the city, the animal is not immediately accessible. Because it's not immediately accessible, therefore, lemaisa, I don't have intention to use it on Yom Tov, and therefore, I may not. Okay, and I will say that indeed, by the way, is ultimately the Shulchan Aruch codifies this case with the pardes and uses this last distinction of Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Okay, so says so. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, The brisos are not contradicting each other. So here's what we know when we come out of this. The fact that the chaya chooses to nest in the pardes does not go ahead and make the mother itself prepared for use for Yom Tov, because the mother itself, because it's a larger animal, requires a more intense trapping, one that makes it more easily accessible for Shrita. But the baby, of course, which is a little bit more feeble, doesn't have the ability to escape the enclosure. Therefore, it's considered to be trapped. But Lamaisa is only considered to be trapped if what? If Lamaisa, a person had intent to access it on Yom Tov. How do we determine intent? So intent, of course, can be determined explicit intent, but in the absence of explicit intent, we rely on situational intent. And situational intent would be if the Gina, the paradise, is close to the city. Therefore, the assumption is that a person does have in mind, lemaisa, to go, a person has in mind, knows about it, and intends to go ahead and use it. But if the Gina is very far, then lemaisa, the assumption is that a person either doesn't know about it, or even if he does know about it, doesn't intend to use it on Yom Tov. Says the Mishnah, Behema Mesukenes Lo Yishchab, was another very interesting case. You should not shecht a Behema Mesukenes. We'll say a Behema Mesukenes means an animal that is in danger of dying. So what's the issue over here? Look at Rashi. Behema Mesukenes, Shehu Yorei Shetamus, Ve'eno Tzarech Lo, Shekvar Siei Tzudaso, Elamachmas Hafseidu Shechis. Let's listen to this case. So now over here, what's happening is the following. A person has an animal that's very sick. So if you have an animal that's very sick, what do you want to do immediately? You want to shecht that as quickly as possible. Why? Because we'll say, you see, we can't relate to this as much, but animals are expensive. Animals are expensive. So lemaisa, again, somebody came to me asking Yom Tov about, I never heard of this before, about a hip replacement for a dog. Mamish, never heard of such a thing like this. So again, the amazing part is not the place for a dog. The amazing part is the cost of it. It was $3,000 to go ahead and I said, how many dogs can you buy for $3,000? Okay, so in any event, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry. So shecht it. So, just, I don't know why I brought that up, but okay, in any event, so the Gemara said the following. The Gemara said, it was my first dog hip replacement Shiloh in my rabbinic career. So it was got a whole chapter in my biography. So yeah. So the Gemara says the flag. So most I said the Mishnah says like this. So again, if you had a behemoth, if you had an animal that was in the dog, you wanted to shecht that as quickly as possible. Because if that animal died, obviously that is a huge loss. The case Rashi says that we're dealing with over here is the following. Now under normal circumstances this shouldn't be a problem because you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. The issue over here is, let's say again, I've already eaten lunch. I had my Yom Tov meal. I actually don't need any more meat. Rashi says, "Shu yorei shematamos ve'inu tzorich lo shekvar saad seudaso." I already had my meal. Elamachmas have seidu shochei. So really, to be honest, I don't actually want it. I don't want the meat. I mean, again, I'll eat. Come on. All right. But again, but lemaisa, I don't need the meat now. But I want to shech the animal because I want to avoid a major loss. So the Gemara says. So behema misukenes lo yishchot ela imken yeshos b'yom le'achol menu kizayis tzli. So you could shecht it as long as what? As long as there's enough time during the day, enough time left in Yom Tov to at least eat a kizayis of meat roasted. Now, so why does the Gemara say roasted? Because we've seen already it takes much less time to prepare roasted meat than it does cooked meat. Because remember, if you cook meat, there's a much more intense salting process. As opposed to if you roast meat, you only have to salt it lightly, because the assumption is that the fire itself draws out the majority of the blood. So the Mishnah therefore says, lemaisa, you could shecht it, essentially, as long as there's technically enough time to go ahead and eat at least the kizayis of salt of roasted meat, you can go ahead and do. Rashi says, lo yishchot ela im kinyo deshi shos b'yom le'echol, kizayis tihim ena. Fine. Rabbi Akiva says, afilu kizayis chai, mi beis tivi chasam. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you could shecht it even if there's only enough time to eat a kizayis of raw meat, literally mi beis tivi chasam means from the area which you slaughter the animal. Rashi says, why does Rabbi Akiva say beis tivichasa? Beis tivichasa because when you shecht an animal, remember what happens, is not only do you shecht the animal, but by definition, the place where you cut, you also end up skinning the animal. So because of that, that's already ready to be eaten. So Rabbi Akiva essentially says, as long as there's enough time to even eat a kizayis chai, a kizayis of raw meat, from base to the chas, from the area of slaughter, you're allowed to go in and shech the animal on Yom Tov. Now, we'll discuss what Rabbi Akiva does with the blood issue. We'll get to that. So the Gemara says, shachta basada, if you shacked an animal in the field. We'll say this is an unrelated case right now. This, I mean, it could be related, doesn't have to be related. But the idea is I shechted an animal, whether it's a misukenis or not, I shechted it in the field. Lo yivi enu b'mot u'b'mota, aval maybe b'yado evarim evarim. So we'll say, remember, when people would shecht, so how do you go, how do you transport an animal when you shecht? So it's like what you imagine, you know, you shecht the animal, you tie it by its legs to a pole or a post, and two people carry it in. So you should not do that on Yom Tov, the Mishnah says. Rashi says, "Lo yivi ani b'motu b'motah b'shnei b'nei adam b'shum d'avsha milsehi u'mezalzal b'yamta." Rabbi says very interesting kinds of avsha milsa. Avsha milsa means it's a degrading thing, meaning that this looks like a weekday activity. This is how people carry animal carcasses during the week, and therefore, the ma'aseh, you shouldn't do this on Yom Tov. So, what should you do? Dismember the animal out in the field and carry it in piece by piece. Okay. So says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bar Abba. Amar Rabbi Bar Abba. Amar Rami Bar Abba, excuse me. Hefshet v'nituach ba'ola. Rami Bar Abba says about the following about say. Hefshet means skinning the animal. Nituach means dismembering the animal, cutting up the animal into pieces. This is a halacha by ola. So we'll say by carbon, we know again, carbonos are offered up a varm. Even an animal, an ola is an animal that is totally consumed on the mizbeach. So even an animal that's totally consumed on the mizbeach, you don't just bring the animal, the carcass, throw it onto the mizbeach, but rather what happens? The animal itself is skinned and cut up into pieces, and the pieces themselves are brought up on the mizbeach. V'hu adin l'katzabim. And Rami Bar Chama says, and this is the same halacha for butchers. For butchers, we'll say, what does that mean? Mikam lamda Torah derech eretz, shelo yochal adam basar kodim hefshet v'nituach. The Torah is teaching us derech eretz. What does it mean derech eretz? That a person shouldn't eat meat before the animal is skinned and dismembered. So the idea is over here, what Rami Bar Chama is teaching us is that lemaisa etiquette. And etiquette is, you don't just, because technically speaking, you could shecht an animal, pull down the hide a little bit, carve out for yourself a piece of meat, and roast it. Rami Bar Chama says the truth is, you should treat your private meat just like we do sacrificial meat. And just like sacrificial meat, the animal is for skin, the animal is dismembered. That's what you should do with your personal meat as well. La'afuke mai, excuse me, the Gemara says, mai kamasho, what does this come to teach us? If you want to say that it comes to exclude the position of Rav Huna, what does Rav Huna say? Rav Huna says that when an animal is alive, it has a cheskas iser. What does it mean, it has a cheskas iser? So Rav Huna says, when an animal is alive, it has a cheskas iser, and that it's Ivar Menachai. You can't eat anything from that animal. You can't eat flesh from that animal because it's called Ivar Menachai. It has what we call a cheskas iser. Ad she'ivadu l'chavman nishchata. Until you know for sure that it was shechted properly. Nishchita, once you know it was shechted properly, becheskas heter omedes. Then Abosa, here's what's interesting. You see, when you shecht an animal, interestingly enough, so you don't, at the moment that you shecht it, so the shayla is, can you know, so now I shecht the animal, I want to carve out a little piece of flesh, and I want to roast it. What's the problem? You don't really know if that animal is kosher until when? Until you open it up. Because there could be something wrong with the lungs. There could be something wrong with the intestines. There could be something else. It's interesting enough, Rav Huna says that lemaisa, when you shecht an animal, it is becheskas heter omedes ad shivad lecha b'man nitrafa. Also, according to Rav Huna, an animal that shecht it has a cheskas kashrus until you know that it's not kosher. We learned like Rav Huna, Disnan Rabbi Akiva Omer, Disnan Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kizayis Chami Beis Tvichasa. So I'm sorry, let's stop here for just a moment. So I'm saying, according to Rav Huna, something very interesting. According to Rav Huna, you don't need to fully skin and dismember an animal before eating it. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, an animal that had a proper shlita, has a cheskas kashrus until you know definitively otherwise. So according to Rav Huna, it could be that you ate a couple of pieces of meat already, and then once you get to the lungs, you realize, oh my gosh, the animal is a trefa. Okay, now the chazakah's changed. But lamaisa, the chazakah between the time of the shechita and now, it tells you that the animal is kosher, therefore I could eat it. So the Gemara now says, it would appear that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rav Huna. Why? What did Rav Huna say? And Rav Huna is not quoted in our Mishnah. But Rabbi Akiva is this nan. Rabbi Akiva Omer Afilu Kizayis Chaim Beis Tvichasa. What does Rabbi Akiva laugh for Rabbi Osai? Rabbi Akiva says that you could shecht a behema mesukenes, you could shecht a deathly ill animal, as long as there's what? Enough time to eat a kizayis of raw meat from the area where the animal was slaughtered. So the Gemara says, my lad mi beis tivichas mamish. Does this not mean that it means literally from the area where the animal was slaughtered, meaning mamish, raw meat from the, and again, Rabbi Osai, obviously, if you're eating it from the area where the animal was slaughtered, what does that mean? Bless you. What does that mean? It means that you have not yet checked the insides of the animal. This would seem to reflect the view of Rav Huna, to which the Gemara says, no, that's not what beis tivichasa means. Lo mimakom shetovachas achilasa. It means that you are permitted to eat from the place in which it breaks down its food, which refers to what Rav Osai? The kishkas, the intestines. Rashi says, last Rashi on the daf, shetovachas achilasa mibnei me'eha, from its intestines, shamacho mischatech umisachal sham. The food is digested there. So in fact, Rabbi Akiva may actually be saying that you can eat it, but what? You actually have to have enough time on Yom Tov to open it up and to be able to see if the animal's kosher. But he says, one second. V'atani Rabbi Chiya, makom tevichasa mamish. But yet Rabbi Chiya in his commentary on his Mishnah says, no, Rabbi Akiva means what? Rabbi Akiva means what? Literally, the Beis HaShechita. So you see that Rabbi Akiva holds, like Rav Huna, that what? That Rabbi Osai, that as soon as you shecht the animal has a cheskas kashrus, you may eat of the animal immediately, even prior to any kind of internal inspection of the animal. Ela Rami Bar Abba. So Rabbi Osai, so remember, why are we getting into this? Let's not lose sight of what we're trying to do. Rami Bar Abba said that we should treat our personal meat like sacrificial meat. And the same way that sacrificial meat is skinned and dismembered prior to quote-unquote consumption or prior to offering, so to my personal meat should be skinned and dismembered prior to consumption. So why is Rabbi Chama saying this? So possibility number one might be that what? That he's coming to exclude the position of Rav Huna. Because according to Rav Huna, you do not need an animal to be skinned and dismembered prior to consumption. Because Rav Huna said that as soon as you shech the animal has Cheskas kashrus, and that's it, you're done. So it could be that Rabbi Chama is coming to the halacha does not follow Rav Huna. On the other hand, we have Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah and Rabbi Chiya who explicitly say that you can eat from an animal without internal inspection because as a cheskas kashrus as soon as it was shechted. If that's the case, then what is Rami Bar Chama coming to teach me? Rami Bar Abba, excuse me. So the Gemara says, Elo Rami Bar Abba Amud Beis Orach Ara Kamashmalon. Rather, what is Rami Bar Amma coming to teach you, Rabbi Osai? Rami Bar Amma is coming to teach me etiquette. Etiquette, proper manners. So Rami Bar Amma is coming to teach me, you know what? It's proper etiquette that you should not eat from the meat of an animal until the animal has been skinned and the animal has been dismembered. Because if you eat from the animal earlier than that, it looks a little gluttonous, it looks a little ravenous. Kidisanya, as we learned, lo yochel adam shum ubatzel mirosho. Rabbi Osai, a person should not eat an onion or garlic from the top, rather ella me'alav, rather he should eat it from its leaves. And I will say leaves in this context really means from its bottom. Look at Rashi. Kedisanya matzino af tanoim shemalandim hilchos derech eretz. Shelo yirai adam atzma al abrios kira avasan. Av zeh hamemar lecho kodim hef shetnira kira avasan. So I will say the Gemara is going to quote unquote a number of different etiquette ideas that are brought down by the tanoim. So you see here the Chazal teach us not just halacha. Chazal teach us etiquette as well, that a person should present a proper image. So too, when Rami Bar Amma said not to go ahead and eat from the animal before it's skinned and dismembered, Rami Bar Amma is saying you shouldn't look gluttonous. So we'll say here, Chazal tell us, what's the right way to eat? To eat an onion or garlic is don't eat it from the top, eat it from the bottom. Now what's the chav? Apparently if you eat it from the top, you could just bite right into it. From the bottom, that's where the leaves are. You have to peel back the leaves. So peeling back the leaves means you're going to have to peel the onion. You're going to have to peel the garlic. You're going to have to take the time to prepare it properly for use. And the maisa, it's just a more refined way of eating. Vim achal, and if you eat it, if you just bite it down from the top. Hareze ra'avasan. This is ra'avasan, I'll say, literally means like a ravenous individual. A ravenous individual. Kiyotze, well, similarly, we'll say, Chazal tells how to drink wine. Lo yishta adam koso bebas achas. Don't drink your cup of wine at once. Don't gulp it down. Vim shasa, and if you drank it down like that, hari ze gargaron, you are a guzzler. That's not a good thing. I want to be clear on that. As you're a guzzler. Tan rabbanos, the rabbis taught. Hashose koso bebas achas. If someone gulps down their wine at once, Harezi gargron, such a person is a guzzler. Shnayim derech eretz, if you drink your cup in two gulps, that's appropriate. Shlosha megase haruach, if you sip it three gulps, That's arrogance. Okay. So Rabbi Abba said, "Chatzuva mikatei raglehun dirishoy." So this we will say Chatzuva. Rashi points out over here. If you look at Rashi, Chatzuva mikatei raglehun dirishoy. Esef shashrashav nokvin the yardin baomek ve'ein mispashet litzdadin klal. So we will say Chatzuva is a plant, and the interesting part about the Chatzuva plant is its roots grow straight down. They do not branch out. So Rashi points out over here, interestingly enough, that the chatzuva was a plant that was often used to demarcate property lines. Because it just grows straight down. So the Gemara says over here that the chatzuva literally cuts off the legs of the wicked, because the chatzuva reminds us to be honest and to stick to our own property. So the chatzuva, so to speak, is like the prosecutor over the wicked, whose roots are mispashet, go everywhere into everyone else's property, trying to take their property. Nitia mikatea raglehun dikatzavyo udebali nidos. Well, it's another interesting case. Nitia over here, according to Rashi, means nitias arla. If you look at Rashi, nitia mikatea raglehun dikatzavyo, nitias arla, sha'amra Torah, bless you, lahamtin shalosh shana milecho peros, mikatea raglehun katzavin, So the concept of Arla, that I have to wait 3 years before partaking of the fruit of the tree, teaches me the concept of patience. So this concept of patience is an important, this goes ahead and is a musr to the butchers, because sometimes the butchers go ahead and start cutting up the meat before the animal is fully skinned and dismembered. So it teaches the butchers to be patient. And the boli nidos. So we'll say boli nidos is a man who has relations with his wife while she's still in nida. So what's the issue? What's the issue that person has? That individual lacks patience. The whole concept of arla is to teach us you have to have patience. And if you have patience, that which you want will become permitted to you. But again, patience represents this idea of self-restraint. So the arla tree is the musr to the butchers who don't skin and properly dismember the animal, as well as those who are boli nidos. Tormisa, mekatei raglehun tisonei she'Yisrael. I will say tormisa is a type of bean that is very bitter, and it has to be cooked 7 times. And once it's cooked 7 times, it actually becomes very sweet. So this literally cuts off the feet of the enemies of the Jewish people, which is a euphemism for sinners. So the tormisa is an incredible musa for the sinners of the Jewish people. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says here, the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Shoftim, v'yosifu b'nei Yisrael lasos esara b'nei Hashem. The Jewish people continue to do that which is negative in the eyes of God. And the Gemara over here, the Rabbi quotes 7 different avodah zarahs that they worship. Vayavdu es habaalim, ve'es ta'ashteros, ve'es elokei aram, ve'es elokei tidon, ve'es elokei ma'av, ve'es elokei b'nei amon, ve'es elokei plishtim, vayazu es Hashem, v'lovdu. So we'll say they worshipped all these avodah zarahs, and they were punished each time, but they still kept worshipping. They forsook God. They left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they did not serve Him. So Gemara says, "I don't understand." Mashu Shneim Mar Vayazu As Hashem. Eini Odesh Lavdu. Now, we'll say the fact that the pasuk says that they left God. They left God. Does that not automatically tell me that they did not serve God? Is that not understood? Umatom Lo Lavdu. Why does it have to say that they left God and they didn't serve Him? Amar Belazar Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said, "Afilu Kiturmos Hazeh." These people are even worse than the turmos, because at least the turmos sheshoklin also sheva pamim va'ochlin also bikinuach seuda. So at least lo asuuni banai. You know, my children aren't even like the turmos bean. Turmos bean is bitter and it's difficult, but when you cook it 7 times, it becomes sweet. My children, I cooked them 7 times, so I punished them over and over and over and over. And yet what? They still don't sweeten up. They still don't go in and serve me. Tana mishmid Rabbi Meir. So we embrace the name of Rabbi Meir. Mipnei ma tor nitna liYisrael. Why was the Torah given to the Jewish people? Mipnei shehin azin. Because they are difficult. And I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Shehin azin. V'nitna lahem Torah sheyas guba v'hima teshes kocham u'mechanas. I will say, such a profound statement. Klal Yisrael possesses incredible energy. The problem is, without Torah, that energy is often used in destructive ways. What Torah does is it channels the energy of a person. What it also does is Torah weakens you. Right? So when a person has the responsibility of Torah on their shoulders, person engages themselves in the exhaustive process of Talmud Torah, it saps you of energy, which could be a good thing, because that's also energy that could be potentially used in wrong, in negative directions. So the Gemara says, Torah was given to Klai Yisrael, Neishin Azim. Because we're difficult, because we're brazen, Torah humbles us. Tan Rabbi Shmuel, Mimino Esh Das Lamo. So the pasuk says, from his right hand, he gave the present, the fiery law to them. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ru'in Halalu Shetinasin Lem Das Esh. These people are worthy of receiving fiery law. Ika Da'amri, there are others that say, Dateim Shal Elu Shal Esh. The ways of this people, the Jewish people, are like fire. The Rebbe say, we are a fiery people. We are an intense people. So the Gemara says, She'el male lo nitna Torah Yisrael. Were it not the fact that we got Torah, and Rebbe say, Torah tempers our fire a little bit. Ein kol uma v'loshen yecholun lama bifneihem. No other nation would be able to stand up to us. V'hainu d'orav Shemar Lakish, and this is where Ish Lakish said, Gimel ozenheim. There are three things in this world that are brazen and strong. Yisrael b'umos, the Jewish people among the nations. Kelev b'chayos, the dog among animals. Tarnagol b'ofos, the chicken among birds. B'yish omrin af eiz b'nehem adaka. Others say the goat with small animals. B'yish lomar af tzlath b'ilanos, the caper bush, when it comes to trees. Most of the reason why the caper bush is considered to be so oz is because Tosas points that actually. Tosas says because the caper bush, every single part of it can be eaten. Every part is edible. And second of all, it always bears fruit. It never backs down in front of the seasons. It's not a seasonal plant. Always bears fruit throughout the entire year. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. Shechta besada lo yivane b'mos. Remember, what did the Mishnah say? That if you shechted it in the field, you may not go ahead and bring it on the pole, but you have to dismember it and bring it in piece by piece. Tanur Rabbanan, ina sumi yotze b'maklo. A blind person may not go out with his staff on Yom Tov. And I will say, this is talking about this. This case over here is where the blind person could get around without the staff. So the blind person does not really need the staff to go ahead and help him. But whatever, he just usually brings up a little bit of additional support. You tell him on Yom Tov not to bring it out. Because again, if Uvda Dechol, it has the appearance of weekday-like activity. Obviously, if he needs it, of course he can take it. Velo harabitami, though similarly, again, the shepherd should not go out with his pouch on Yom Tov also. Because again, Rashi points out, in Asum Yotze B'maklo, Tahavi Derech Chol, these are all considered to be weekday-like activities, and therefore you can't do it because it diminishes the sanctity of Yom Tov. And you can't go out with a chair. Now, I will say what this is referring to over here. If you look at Rashi, So we'll say this is talking about over here a type of chair that's carried by others. Mm-hmm. So let's say you can't sit on a chair and have it carried by others on Yom Tov. Now, the assumption over here is because also, again, this has the appearance of weekday-like activity. Echara ish ve'echara isha. And this is true for both a man as well as for a woman. Ini, is that true? Is that true? V'hashalach. Actually, we're gonna stop here for today. We'll pick up right here in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. V'hashalach. V'hashukayach.
Yeah? Yeah.